Canceling plans because your knees hurt? Nope, not anymore. Get to Joint Relief Institute. Safe, fast, immediate pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
On the Wintrust Business Lunch as we join Terry Savage for, well, Terry, you ready over there?
I sure am ready.
Okay, it sounded like you were putting something down or maybe walking the dog or something.
No. I have a long list. Usually, you know, I can just pop things off the top of my head.
Yeah.
My list about warning signals of recession grew so long that if you don't want to take notes today, I'm going to write my column for this weekend and it'll be up at terrysavage.com. And every day something gets added to my list of warnings.
Like what?
Well, let me start with this. Let's start with the current minute reality check. The Standard & Poor's 500, now I'm not talking about the stock market in terms of a recession, but let's look at where things are. The Dow down another 170, it looks like today. It's broke below some, the technicians call the 200-day moving average, a big negative signal. The S&P is at its June levels. Interest rates, the 10-year on which mortgage rates are based, is at 4.58%, a 15-year high rate since 2007. The six-month, our favorite Treasury bill rate, still at 5.56%, up a tick. Mortgage rates, 7.5% now on a 30-year fixed, 23-year high. And now some of the list. Some other things in the market. Home sales. Sales are down. We just got that report, although prices remain high because there's no inventory. Who's going to give up your old 3.5% mortgage that we talked you into 2 years ago? You remember that.
Yeah.
Home builder sentiment now is negative. Look at commodities just for a second. You know, everything's blamed on inflation. Well, gold used to be the best sign of inflation, the best inflation hedge. Today, it's plummeted to below $2,000 an ounce, down $25 to $1,894. That's not telling you there's no inflation. It's telling you that who wants to own gold that pays no dividends when you can own secure U.S. T-bills that pay you 5.5%. The scariest thing on my inflation docket is not gasoline prices, though that may be yet to come. Orange juice. I drink a lot of orange juice. Orange juice is trading at $3.69 a pound, up, that's a concentrate, up 78% year to date. So remember a few months back we were talking about eggs and then all the chickens started laying eggs again and prices fell. Well, the oranges that were not grown last fall in Florida because of last year's hurricanes are shrinking the supply. Orange juice up nearly 80% so far this year. So can I keep going for a minute on my list?
Well, just pause for one moment. It seemed to me like
I will.
For a while we were following eggs and a couple of other commodities a lot, but we stopped doing that, maybe in part because the prices of those things dropped. Is this a new fluctuation? Is this a new direction for some of these states?
Well, you know, they always say the best cure for high prices is high prices. That's what free markets are all about. And what we're seeing now, the one I didn't get to, is oil, which today, I mean, just last week popped up above $90 a barrel. Today is trading above $93 a barrel. And that will hit you eventually at the gas pump and in the cost of everything transported by rail, by road, I should say, and all other factors, ways that energy factors in. We're all experts on that now. So obviously the Fed's job is not done, whether it's shortages caused by supply, just like orange juice, that was Mother Nature, or whether it is movements of the OPEC cartel or demand or whatever, where you see the oil market. That means that the fires of inflation, though turned down, are still there. Now there's a negative side that also leads us to believe the economy is slowing. I mean, put all these in the cake mix bowl. It's still likely we'll have a government shutdown. The Senate seems to be moving along, but not the House. The auto strike is ongoing. As we talked about for the last 4 or 5 months, the return of student loan repayments is going to squeeze consumers. TransUnion is out with another reminder. I wrote a column about this. It's up at terrysavage.com about a month ago, that during that period of no payments, people took on debt. They took on auto loans. They took on mortgage loans. They have other auto credit. So TransUnion, which sees it all, says, oh, millions of people are going to be squeezed. We have consumer debt at an all-time high. The leading economic indicators last week was the big news, down 18 months in a row, a sure sign of recession, although they lead by about seven months. Wait.
Go ahead.
One more, two more. Consumer confidence. Yesterday, the future expectations fell from 83 to 73. Below 80 is a sure sign of recession. And the last thing I'll leave you with, I bet you have to go to break, is on top of all this, the government wants to sue Amazon, the one place where we know that we can check prices or get stuff efficiently. All of those are bad things happening in the economy that are, I hope, reflected in the markets already, but a slowdown. I mean, somebody call up with a list of all the great things that lead you to believe the economy is going to boom from here. I'd like to hear that list.
Yeah, I don't think that's an unfair question, but I think there are some counterpunches to how bad it is. Let me ask you this, because I'm in no position to argue with you. I don't intend to. I believe you, but I think the next question should be, all right, so there's your forecast for a recession, but everybody seems to be saying softer landing for that, not as bad as it could be. And here's a question. You just mentioned the possibility of a government shutdown. Somebody texted in, if there's a federal shutdown, will it affect Social Security or government pension checks?
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Still there, right, Terry?
I have not gone away, despite the doom and gloom I cast on the show.
Okay, but...
Ask me your last question again.
Well, let me put it the way...
I loved that.
A friend of mine texted me and said, weren't most of these exact same warnings that Terry is talking about the same warning signs we had last September? Last September, inflation was twice as high. The stock market was 25% lower. I mean, despite all that you've said, I don't think people are feeling it as badly as you're making it sound. And one wonders if the negative interpretation or reporting sort of begets more negative performance. No wonder the consumer price or the confidence level is down. It's because people keep saying we're going to have a recession, but it really hasn't been that bad for most people.
I think they say that when they're floating down the river and on a raft and these rafting expeditions, you know, this isn't as bad as I thought it would be. This is pretty comfortable until all of a sudden the water starts rushing and they go over the rapids. I thought you were going to ask me about the term softer landing.
Sure.
Okay. Soft landing. You know, I was about to respond immediately and say, that's one of those words that will go down in history. It was just 2 years ago during the break I looked up. When did the Fed give up on the term transitory inflation? And it was 2 years ago, November 30th of 2021, when Fed chairman finally said, well, maybe it's not transitory. Transitory was one of those buzzwords, just like soft landing is a buzzword. Look, John. In answer to your friend who texted, I'd love to believe that I and the others who see these warning signals, and I didn't make up these warning signals, but who see the actual signals that occur throughout the economy are the ones that are causing a lack of consumer confidence. But I don't give myself that much credit. A, I'm not a forecaster. And B, I know that despite all the wonderful listeners we have, our show and others like it don't set the tone for the economy. Consumers' actions speak louder than words. They are at higher credit card balances, mm-hmm. at higher interest rates on those balances. They are saying jobs are not as plentiful as they were before.
There's almost two jobs for every person looking still, right? It's 1 point
something. But the government collects these statistics, okay? Or the conference board collects the statistics on consumer confidence. We didn't make this up. They've done this for years and years. There's always disbelief that things won't go on as continued. And yes, I must admit, I'm giving a speech next week in Chicago, and I gave one about 10 days ago in Peoria. And I went back and looked up some of the slides. There aren't a lot of meetings in the summer from my May presentations that I made. And I thought, well, these need updating. I was predicting a recession back then based on some of these things. So things can go on longer than you expect. And I just want to make people aware. John, when you think, we haven't had what I would call a painful recession. I mean, there was a panic recession because of the pandemic, but everything shut down. Everyone was in the same boat. An economic recession, we haven't had a real bad one since 2008, 2009, the housing and that mortgage crisis.
Right.
So that means if you were 20, graduating college at 21 then, anybody under 35 has not lived through the kind of a recession that the government, number one, doesn't immediately send out money to fix.
Terry, do you think it's going
to
be
a soft? To someone in your family.
Well, how bad do you think it's going to be then? If this is a true, then how bad do you think this recession is going to be?
You know, if I were an economic forecasting genius, you'd see me on, you know, and nobody knows this. My goal is, this show is about people's personal finances. And what I'm saying is there are a lot of objective historical signs of an impending recession.
Right.
This time around, the government is not in a position to hand out largesse.
That's helpful.
The way they did.
No, listen,
a few years ago.
Really, if we do
so,
people any favor here, it's tell them the facts and then maybe guide them as much as we can to weather the storm. I just want to.
And some people, John, let's put it this way. Some people will. Some people have secure jobs. Some people will not be laid off. But all those tech workers in the last 6 months that have been laid off in California and other places never thought that they were expendable. They thought they could quiet quit and do a very little work or tell the boss they weren't coming into the office. Here's a prediction. A year from now, the term quiet quitting will go down with transitory inflation and soft landing.
Okay, hold on.
A year from now, those people will be hunting for jobs and not finding them so plentiful.
I have about a minute here. I want to get in one more call. Then we'll take calls about your personal finances with Terry. Jim, you're on the air. What's your question or comment?
Terry, I don't agree with you. I mean, you're very negative. The last 2 years, I've listened to your comments. Credit card debt, yes, it's high. Consumer confidence, it always fluctuates. But for the most part, 2 years ago, you said we were going to be in a recession. A year ago, you said you were going to be in a recession. Yes, college loans. People know they got to pay their money eventually. PMI and manufacturing doing well. New housing starts are still up. If you look traditionally this year, their inventory is extremely low. And people are making money. You can't get a plane. You can't get a dinner reservation. You can't.
That happens. Our phones sometimes click out. But you see what he's saying.
I got the point.
Yeah.
I got it completely. First of all, I wasn't calling for a recession 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I was saying interest rates would go up. And 2 years ago, you can look at my January tapes, I was begging people to get mortgages at under 3.5%. I don't call interns day by day, but you're right. I've been concerned about rising interest rates. 2 years ago, we were telling everybody to begin to start buying treasury bills because CD rates were low.
But you see his point. Rather than dwell on that point, though, what he's just saying, though, is that there are a number of other numbers in the economy that you didn't mention, which
Absolutely.
A person could be optimistic about.
If home sales were plunging, if nobody was going out to dinner, I forget all the other points he made, if you couldn't get on a plane to go on vacation, and I'm traveling this week and every seat's taken, if those things were obvious to you, you would know we were already in a recession. I just think that we have enough leading advance warnings that if you are dealing with your personal finances, you want to think, will it impact me? See, you know, in a recession, prices may go down. That would be terrific for people living on fixed incomes. But if we still have high interest rates because the Fed's still worried about inflation, that's going to mean something if you have credit card debt. And if you knew in advance that, I mean, we haven't repealed the business cycle. I can't throw at a dartboard and say the recession will start November 19th or December 12th or whatever it is. But would you go out shopping for a lot of Christmas merchandise this year? If you thought you or someone in your family was vulnerable, that you already had a lot of debt, that maybe the boss would cut back your hours.
Yeah, no.
By the time we see all of it, it's too late to prepare yourself.
All right, you are now warned, and you should be prepared, and I'm not being silly. Terry is on the line. We've got callers and text messages. Terry, as we go back to them, anything you want to say first?
Yeah, you asked me a question that we didn't really come back to, and I think it's important, and then let's do those questions. You asked about what would be the impact of a government shutdown on various things. I know a lot of people worried about their Social Security checks, but that's a pretty automatic kind of a thing on the side of the part of the government. So, and pension checks as well for government retirees. So that's not the issue. Let's remember this: those will still go out. This is not like the debt ceiling when we didn't, quote, have the money or the authority to borrow the money to pay our bills. This is different. This is just a shutdown of essential government agencies. So here's what would be impacted. Think about all the reports, the unemployment report, the inflation reports. Those are all impacted by government workers who might not be there if they're not getting paid, because a shutdown of the government would mean, quote, all but essential workers would be furloughed. So some of those reports that the Fed depends on, for example. Mm-hmm. If you're calling a government agency, IRS, whatever, those employees might not be there. How about if you have a mortgage application process, an FHA-backed mortgage, for example? It's estimated that 2,500 mortgages per day could be impacted by the inability to get the processing done at the federal level. So yes, there will be impacts of a government shutdown, however long it lasts. It will eventually impact GDP and the economy and so forth. But I know how many people count on those Social Security checks or pension checks from the government being in their accounts, and they will be in your accounts because that's automatic. Doesn't take workers to do that.
Among the text messages, I appreciate the warnings to manage our personal finances with care. Thank you, Terry. 630 said, I agree with the previous caller. I love Terry's advice and respect her, but I feel like she's wishing this bad news on us. And somebody else said, can Terry recommend a fiduciary? And if someone is not good on the internet, can she recommend someone to help buy T-bills? You always give people advice on going to your website or going online to make those purchases. Some people are intimidated by that, Terry.
Well, let's start with that. Actually, one of our listeners sent me such a plaintive email. I said, give me your phone number. I will guide you through this over the phone. Huh. And at the end, and I literally did, there are links on the article, how to buy T-bills, right on the homepage at terrysavage.com. And if, as long as you are doing this on your home computer and not sitting in a restaurant using the Wi-Fi there, it's going to be perfectly secure. And you walk through this step-by-step. TreasuryDirect.gov, for example, literally it has a video tutorial there. You can watch the video so you'll see what screens are coming. I know people are intimidated by the internet. If you don't have someone, a child or grandchild, who can walk you through this, you're going to have to do it on your own. I can't hold everyone's hand, but I think that if you'll give it a try, I list the three things you need to know: your Social Security number, your bank account number, and something called your bank routing number, which you can call your bank and ask for.
Or it's on the bottom of your check.
And those are the three things you have to. Yeah. It's on the bottom of your check. I find it difficult to work out those MICR numbers.
I always forget which one is which. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And your check number comes at the end of it. But honestly, it's not as scary. You've done a lot of first-time things before in your life, but if you've reached the stage where the internet is scary, just face it directly. I wish I could hold your hand, but everything like that is done online these days. So that's the way it goes.
Here's some calls for Terry, 312-981-7200. Ron, your question is what? You're on WGN.
Hello, Terry. My question, whether it's a recession or a soft landing, if the economy is contracting, what indicators and signs of the Fed will be looking at to stop raising the interest rates? Because I know they don't want us to go into a deep recession. And then my second question, do you think they are pretty much satisfied with the effects of the interest rates on inflation? Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, good question.
Sure. Thanks. That was a great question, Ron. Well, when will the Fed have had enough of raising interest rates and be ready to cut? That is like the $64 trillion question that the whole world is debating as they look at the bond market and the stock market. But when will they be satisfied? I think you had to listen to what Fed Chairman Powell said last week after the meeting. We're not satisfied yet. There is a distinct possibility, even likelihood, that rates would go up again one more time when they meet in November. But they take the data day by day. They see the latest reports. So this is a group of Fed governors that are being asked to make a decision. The markets, you know, weigh in on that decision every day. Right now, the Dow is down 310 points, I'm watching. So there's a lot of the feeling that, oh, the Fed's done raising rates. We've got inflation under control. People are going, well, maybe the Fed won't think that with oil prices rising. So maybe there is more than one rate increase. That's what the financial markets chew on every day. I don't have an answer for you, but I do want you to have some chicken money on the side. You're being paid very well, 5.5% T-bills. Demand more from your money market at your bank or go buy T-bills to have some money on the sidelines, especially if you're older and retired. You're being punished for having debt, credit card debt. Someone asked a question I posted on my blog is, what happened to the old usury laws? You know, in Illinois, it's 30%. Well, there are credit cards charging 29.8%.
Wow.
And the usury laws in, I think it was Alabama, is 150%, something like that. I mean, nobody is going to protect you from yourself. You're paying 20%+ interest when you could only get 5.5% safely in the bank. You are digging yourself a deep hole. That's the kind of preparation I'm talking about.
This is Teresa. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I was on last week. You gave advice about my 401k and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, for all the seniors out there or anybody who does not have a computer, I work part-time at the Brookfield Library. And what we do is we have like 8 computers and we have what's called Book a Librarian. It's at no cost. And you come up and we have a librarian walk you through anything you want to do on the computer, on the web page, on anything. And it doesn't cost you anything. So maybe other libraries offer it, but I know we do that a lot.
Wow.
Teresa, that's wonderful. Thank you for calling. And you know how much I love libraries for the librarians around Illinois and nearby, but for the public libraries, I'm doing a webcast, and I think it's coming up, I think it's the 18th of October, I may be wrong about the date. And I will ask all of them on that webcast if they have that service, and I will report back after that. What a wonderful, thank you for calling in.
Get more business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch from Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. UPS will go on a hiring spree in Chicago ahead of the upcoming holiday season. The delivery company plans to hire 3,500 seasonal employees in the area for full and part-time positions. Job openings include delivery drivers, commercial drivers, and package handlers. Seasonal pay rates for package handlers and driver helpers start at $21 per hour. Starting pay for drivers is $23 per hour. UPS is making permanent hires as well. A developer plans to build a 36-story, 500-unit apartment building in Chicago's Old Town neighborhood. The building will be located near North and LaSalle. Cranes reports the development will have views of Lincoln Park and Lake Michigan. Developer Fern Hill will demolish the Walgreens that currently sits on that block. The building will be connected to a parking garage and include ground floor retail. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of food now. Here's Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and let's check in on how the corn crop is looking this fall.
Oh, it's been a great crop.
He's not talking about the kind of corn you're probably thinking of. More about that, though, after I thank our sponsor, Chevy, drivechicago.com, where it's truck season. Add a Chevy Silverado to your toolbox. Okay, the corn crop Chad Womack is talking about?
Candy corn season starts in early August.
Yes, candy corn season coincides with field corn season each fall. And Chad is the marketing director for seasonal confections at Chicago's very own Ferrara Candy Company. And they grow, they make a lot of corn.
We make over 30 million pounds of Brock's candy corn every year.
And we all know the traditional candy corn looks kind of like kernels of corn with a yellow, orange, and a white. And Brock's is mixing things up a bit with what it calls its Fall Festival candy corn, featuring 6 new colors and flavors you might find this time of year, such as at a carnival.
Yeah, the cotton candy ones. Pink and light blue instead of the white, yellow, and orange.
And it tastes cotton candy-ish?
Tastes just like cotton candy.
And they've got kettle corn and caramel apple and lemonade shake-up, strawberry funnel cake, and lemon lime snow cone as some of the other new flavors. And here's some good news. We've heard sugar prices are skyrocketing globally. Does that mean a spike in the cost of candy corn? Probably not.
Sugar, since it's such a huge part of our business, we buy it many, many months out. As of right now, the immediate small fluctuations in the marketplace don't affect our prices.
Ferrara Candy Company, owner of the Brock's brand, is headquartered here, and a lot of the candy is made at factories around Chicago. And the dreaming up of new flavors, that is happening right downtown.
It is. Actually, we now have an innovation center right here in the old post office.
Chad Womack says they refer to the in-house food scientists who come up with the new flavors as their Willy Wonkas. And if you're really into candy, corn, you can join a club
to get candy corn year-round instead of having to wait until the candy corn season in August.
Okay, where do we sign up?
It is at brockscandycornclub.com.
From the farm to your belly, today's National Chocolate Milk Day. It's also National Corned Beef Hash Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Terry, can I put $50,000 from an estate fund in T-bills until probate is settled, probably in 3 months?
If you have a tax ID for the probate account, you can do that. So speak to the attorney that's handling the probate process. If that person, the decedent, the person who died and left the money in a revocable living trust and named you as successor trustee, you could do that very easily to open a Treasury Direct account for that revocable living trust. But because it's going through probate, you'll probably have to ask the attorney, and that might be an issue if the account doesn't have its own tax ID number. Maybe it can use the ID of the person who died.
630 said, I'm receiving an inheritance and I want to pay off my second mortgage, which is around $6,000, and it's at 6.75%. I also have a car loan at 2.25% and I owe $10,000. Is it wise to pay off these and put their payments towards my first mortgage?
I would definitely pay off that second loan at a high rate. And depending, you didn't tell me the rate on the first mortgage, if it's 3.5% or 4%, maybe you just want to keep that money on the side liquid in T-bills so you have some cash liquidity. If you needed money badly enough to take out a second mortgage and a car loan, even though it's at a very low rate, which is a good deal, especially now, maybe you need to have something called chicken money in a money market account or T-bills, but definitely pay off the second mortgage for sure.
I want to ask you more about that in a minute, but let me get Chris in here, too. You're on WGN. Hi, Chris. How can we help you?
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually spoke with Terry a while back when we sold my parents' house, and she very cleverly informed us to, yes, get the money into a money market account because it's part of a trust. Well, we're actually today meeting with their family investment guy, and I know Terry has always been talking about, you know, investing in T-bills. And we can do it ourselves. My dad trusts this guy. He really likes him. What should we expect if we had him handle that type of thing? I would imagine, you know, there's some price tag associated with him doing it for us. I'm going to press for it just to, you know, for us to do it. But I didn't know, you know, is it even worthwhile having?
Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions. When you say for us, is everybody, all the children agreed on keeping this money whole, or is it being distributed to you and siblings?
My parents are still alive. They're well into their 80s.
Oh.
And okay. They're comfortable, you know, they, with dad's pension and everything, it pays for their assisted or independent living. So monthly, they're not as covered. It's just a matter of what should we do with this? You know, what's a better way to do it? And will the government shut down?
I got it. Okay.
T-bills?
No, it won't. The auctions will go on apace. But first of all, what you should be asking your parents' advisor is, how are you compensated? Is it an annual fee? It shouldn't be more than 1% a year. Is it that based on the total assets under management? Of course, he wants to get his or her hands on this money because it'll raise the annual fees. And the bottom line of this is, yeah, if your parents now have created a revocable living trust, they're up to date. This money should be in an account in the name of the Revocable Living Trust at treasurydirect.gov. You can, if it's a hunk of money, put in 20% this week, 20% in 2 weeks. Buy 6-month T-bills, stagger the maturities, and have them automatically renew a couple of times. So money will drop in at renewal into their bank account, whichever they tie it to get the money into T-bills. And this will be their chicken money, and hope they live a long, long time. Maybe use the money up or leave some for you, but it'll be safe.
You'd advise them to try and do that on their own.
on there. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, that's something you're a smart guy. You've followed this advice. Just open an account in the name of their revocable living trust. And the instructions are right at terrysavage.com, right-hand side under financial links, how to buy T-bills.
We close with a laugh today. Good luck, Chris. I hope that helps. 630 said, hey, John, can you ask Terry if chicken money includes gold bars?
You know, it doesn't. I'm sorry to say, and I've been a gold fan for years and years and years and years. As I pointed out, gold is down dramatically today.
Yeah.
I think the last I looked was 19 something. But the point being that it's, 1894, under $1,900. The reason why? Because gold bars don't earn anything. You're giving up 5.5%. Now, I just leave this. What would make gold soar? If the whole world collapsed, but then you couldn't eat gold. So the people who say, well, maybe it'll be cryptocurrencies, maybe it's likely still to be U.S. Treasury bills where the world wants to put its money to keep it safe. But if the U.S. government has all these problems, they might have to be paying even higher interest rates to attract the money.
Yeah.
But sadly, you can't eat gold. So I'd rather have T-bills today.
Let's talk next Wednesday, Terry Savage.
Absolutely. Thanks for the time, John.
That's Terry Savage.com.